Well, good morning again to all of you. It's a beautiful day, sunshine, wonderful weekend. Yes, like we said, we had a great movie night. It was just nice to get together, and it was very comfortable. Thank you for the nice popcorn and punch and stuff of that, too. So next time we do that, you know, just know that that is available, and it's just a good time of fellowship and being together. So we just appreciated that. And also, the men's breakfast yesterday was really good, except for one person being there who kind of took it all over, but we won't mention a name. But we really enjoyed our time, and we hope that we can do it again sometime, probably next month, I'm sure. So, yes, I'm not being too mean, am I? All right, well, wonderful. Well, I want to be, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, and, you know, and I'm not a Chicago Bulls fan, but this guy was great, okay? This Michael Jordan guy. And one of the commercials came out, you know, I want to be like Mike, you know? And so, why? Well, because the guy takes off from the foul line, flies to the air, and slams the ball emphatically, not just a little boop, no, boom, you know? So he's just, he's doing things that people are going, no way. Nobody can do that stuff, right? And then everybody wanted to be like Mike. They got their shoes that cost sometimes $100 and something, and people were dying over it because somebody would shoot somebody over it. They wanted his shoes. You know, this is LA where I grew up. And, you know, and then also, you know, people were, even the pros were trying to jump from the foul line and slam it. Well, some of them came close, but just nobody could do it like Mike. You know, just nobody could do it like Mike. And even for us, you know, we have, you know, our people that we go, oh, I want to be like, you know, this inventor, you know, or this YouTuber, this famous YouTuber. I want to be like this superhero, Kirby, you know, or somebody, you know, Steve on Minecraft. I don't know if that's a very famous guy or not. But things like that, you know, we want to be like somebody. You grow up that, or sometimes you read a book and you say, I want to be like Brother Andrew. You know, that guy just, you know, talk about somebody who trusted in God. You know, but even he admitted sometimes he failed at that too, you know. So the thing is, we like to be like somebody else. And then when we try and try and try, we end up what? Disappointing. Yeah, we become disappointment. We don't make it. We're not like that person. We're just us, which isn't a bad thing. We're just not like Mike or whoever else that we're trying to be like. Today, we're going to be looking a little bit more about that. We'll discuss a little bit more about the importance of being like someone. And we're going to and how these things are, we're going to discover things in the Word of God together at this scripture here. Oops, I went the wrong way here. There we are. So questions and answers, you know, through this passage here. And how many times have we read this passage? You know, it's kind of most Christians know this passage about, you know, the Good Samaritan. You know, it's very famous, and even non-Christians know these things as well. And, you know, there's a lot of questions and there's answers. They're very important ones that help us, even today, discover the truth. Amazing, isn't that? So we're going to be looking at that. Before that, let's pray. Father God, yes, without you, without your word, we'll just be speaking into the air with really no power and no truth, really, because really you are truth. The very person of Christ is truth. And we just ask that you bless this time, bless your word, that you'll penetrate our hearts with your truth, that we will discover it anew, that you will reveal more things to us, maybe, or remind us of things we used to know. Challenge us. And may your name be honored and glorified in all of this, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So the test, you know, what happens here this, you know, when I was reading this passage and I kind of read it and I was trying to, you know, look through things, write down things and stuff like that, then I listened to another person preaching it. And usually I go to Alistair Begg because he and I, our styles kind of match one another. You know, I don't like to, I'm just not a guy that puts myself in a certain, I got to do point by point by point. I found that I just can't do that. You know, other people are excellent at it, okay? But Alistair, he just gives you the word, and I say, that's what I want to do. So I listened to him, and as I was reading, he said, oh, testing. I said, at first I was going, oh, this guy really has a real genuine heart before Christ. And he's going to ask him this question, but really, what he's doing, he's testing Jesus. Well, when you test somebody, and especially Jesus, watch out. All right, so we're going to be looking at that and what that really means for us even today. So the ultimate question, a good question, right there, you know, right there in that verse 20, what is that, 25, you know, teacher, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, I would say that everybody in this world has probably asked that question at some time in their lives. It might have looked a little bit differently for them because some people don't believe there is a God, but they believe there's something up there. They believe there's something bigger. There's a heaven of some sort or a place where they can be at peace. Some people think about a place where they become non-existent, but still, excellent question for each one of us to answer ourselves. And why do we ask these type of questions, though? Why are we thinking about eternity? Each day is tough enough as it is. You know, why are you going to ask that? Well, because of this. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the hearts of man. Even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. You know, it's not of us, all right? When God created us, when he created man, eternity was planted in the heart. Life. For he is an eternal God, and he's not going to make anything that's not perfect. And he gives us that hunger. And where the separation came, then it became even more evident. We want to, where are we going to go for eternity? You know, we lost it in the Garden of Eden. How are we going to get it back? You know, can I earn it? Can I buy it? Can I slam it from the foul line and get it? You know, that's what a lot of people try to do. All right? That's what a lot of religions teach us that. Okay, you can do it. You can do it. But the faith of Christ, the Christian faith, it's a whole nother ballgame, whole nother way. And people say, and then Jesus, you know, this is a lawyer speaking, right? Somebody who knows the law, he knows the word really well, all right? And well, you know what lawyers do when they get asked a question? What do? They answer it with another question. Jesus is good at this. So, and Jesus says, well, what is written in the law? How do you read it? Well, he's giving it right back to him. And the guy goes, oh, well, I was just hoping you could ask me that question because I know what the answer is, Jesus. It is because I know in Deuteronomy and Leviticus there, it says this. It says, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he's going, yeah. And he's going, wait a second. Whew, that was kind of heavy, Jesus. You know, I felt like, I'm not sure, truthfully, for this guy, maybe I'm wrong, you know, but I would think that as he was going through that, that there was a little bit of conviction going on there. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. Wow. That's a heavy standard, okay? And love your neighbor as yourself, ooh, yeah. So I'm not sure, but maybe his pride was blocking all that, okay? That could be. But then I also think that the human part and the heart part, he's going to start going, ooh. And so in all of that, and Jesus just says, well, you answered correctly. Yeah, you got an A+. Yeah, you know, do this and you will live, you know. But I got a feeling in this next part here, and this shows that there must have been some type of conviction going on in this man's heart, because he had to justify himself. Usually you don't justify yourself unless you're trying to prove a point or protect something or defend yourself, defend your pride. All right. That's where the justification comes from, you know, for us. You know, we make excuses. Something goes wrong, you kind of go, but that happened because, you know, when I go golfing, you know, the ball goes way off and I go, it was the wind. You know, if it wasn't for that 15-mile-an-hour wind, I would have been right in the middle of that fairway looking for a birdie. You know, so you're always looking for justification, you know, blaming or pointing to something else, you know, pointing to somebody else, you know, whatever's going on there. So when he's doing this, he's looking for more, you know, to be able to answer these questions that are, I think, really coming into his heart. You know, he's lacking something. His confidence is starting to wane. And so why is this happening? Well, this. Now, okay, this guy, we have the full revelation of God's word. He did not. Okay, not in written form like what we have. So but I believe these things are, he knows these things. If not by somebody speaking it before or teaching it, you know, the Holy Spirit or God's just his very presence will convict him of it. It says, you know, 3:20, it says this, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. Why? The law simply shows us how, what? Sinful we are. It's not for us to live by the thing that we can get 100%, because God already knows we can't get the 100% mark. All right, he answered correctly there, but there's something wanting there, okay? And he knows it because he's unable to do 100% of what he just said. The law is good, but it's good because what it shows us that we're sinful. We need help. That's the bad news, all right? The bad news is right here. We can't do it. We can't do it ourselves. We can't enter into eternal life without Christ. We need somebody else. We need something beyond ourselves. We can't do and do and do and stuff like that. We can't jump from the foul line and get it, all right? But it does show us that we're sinners and we're needy and we're wanting and we need somebody to help us. And it goes on in James 2:10, they just kind of convict you even more. Therefore, the person who keeps all of the laws except one is as guilty as a person who has broken all of God's laws. So, you know, I still remember the story Joy was telling when he's working in the prisons and is, you know, going around, you know, have you ever sinned? And people usually go, yeah, I've sinned. You know, I've lied, I've done this. One lady goes, no. And I don't know how many times, I don't know if she ever admitted it or some of that, but, you know, but she's really lying, all right? She's being self-defensive. She's not ready to reveal that she's a sinner like everybody else, all right? So it's just once, when you're 1 year old, 2 years old, whatever, you know, there's just that boom. You know, it's just we have that inherited in our DNA of being sinners. And so, you know, this guy is really going, wow, okay, I got to get myself out of this. And he's saying, he asks a question. Well, he's trying to maybe steer Jesus a little bit different direction, or maybe he knows he's failing the test, and he says, I got to get at least 20% out of 100. I hate to get zeros. And so he says, well, who is my neighbor? And when he's saying that, I got a feeling he's going, oh, I'm probably thinking about my neighbor, my next door neighbor, my friends, my family, the guys I hang out with, I can handle that, right? Well, Jesus, he doesn't let us off easy at all when he's teaching. You know, Jesus invites us to discover a real relationship with God, not one that we pretend to have a lot of times. When we have all these rules, all these limitations, all this stuff. We're not being real with Him. We put on a mask and we pretend that we're good enough. Scary. You know, remember Peter? You know, he saw Jesus walking the water and Peter said, "Oh, I got to do that. Jesus called me." And he got out of that boat and he was doing okay. He was taking some steps on water. And all of a sudden, he took his eyes off Jesus and he started to sink, right? See, at first, he was keeping his eyes on Jesus. And he's going, "Yeah, I can do all things through Christ," right? But then when he noticed, he started looking around going, "Oh, but I can't." All right? But Jesus, by his grace, lifts him up. And he does that for us as well. You know, when Jesus started telling the story, you know, we know the story. I'm not really going to talk about it. You know, there's a long trail. I think they said a 17-mile walk between Jerusalem and Jericho, and it's downhill. And it's a barren area, great for robbers, for bandits, okay? And this guy gets robbed, you know, this Jewish man gets robbed. And, you know, the priest passes on, he goes, "Whoop, whoop, I'm not dealing with that today." And he starts walking. The Levite even walks up to him and goes, "Oh, yeah, he's looking pretty bad. Oh, sorry for you, guy." And he just kept on going. But the Samaritan, and in an NLT translation, is funny. And the NLT translation uses the word despised Samaritan, because that's what they were in the eyes of the Jews, all right? The Samaritans were a mixed race, a half-breeds in spiritual life and racial, all right? So they were just, that is the worst person you can even talk about, Jesus. You know, I don't mind you talking bad about the priests and Levites, because, you know, I don't feel so good about them sometimes either. But don't bring up the Samaritan. This is the worst guy you can bring up, you know. But Jesus is really teaching them love reaches across all boundaries, even racial lines and all that. So as we continue on here, you know, as I look at this, who is my neighbor, and then these questions are going on, this exact same thing. If you look at that story, the rich young ruler back there in Mark, there it says he asked the same question. He walked up to Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" See, that's the question, and the answer Jesus gave him didn't meet his expectations, and neither for this lawyer as well. It's heavier. It's where you're getting real with Him. You're not playing by your own rules. You're not going by your own expectations, your own ways that you've set before you. You've made your plans, and you're following them. And Jesus is saying, "No, you got to give it all up, guy. Stop playing games. Stop testing me. And get real with me. Open your heart. Follow me. Trust in me. Let me be a part of your life." And then Jesus did the worst thing he could have did. Oh, I love this. Oh, is that pumpkin pie? Raise your hand right now. Intermission. Raise your hand. Randy. All right. Last thing you eat on earth before the Lord takes you. You have an apple pie with ice cream, and you have a pumpkin pie with whipped cream. Who wants the apple pie? All right, I feel sorry for you, but put your hands down. Who wants the pumpkin pie? Raise them high. Yeah. Oh, it's about even. Wow. Is there two heavens? Do you think there's two heavens in here? All right, I like this. I've never done this before, but I would really like to do that one of these days. You know, Jesus, why does he do this? Jesus is playing with this guy. He's pushing him. He's saying, you know, get out of your little world, dude. You think you got it all? You don't. You lack it. You lack one good thing, and that's him. Go and do likewise. Why? You know, when he said that, I could the guy was probably went, huh? go and do likewise. Yeah, yeah. And he knows he can't. He can't get it done 100%. Oh, Jesus. So getting real, Jesus, opening up your hearts and minds to him. Yeah. It sounds easy, doesn't it? It isn't. You know, when we're watching that movie, just Bart Millard, you know, he grew up in a rough life. You know, his dad treated him, beat him, abused him. His mom left him. You know, wow. I don't know if you can get much worse, except for maybe if you lived in Syria or Afghanistan or something like that, okay? But this was a really hard situation. Yet, you know, and then finally, this a talent scout, he just says, you know, you got to face your fears. You know, you got to face your, you got to get real, really, what he's telling him. He says, get real with yourself. Find out who you really are. You know, and through that, then you can open up when you sing. Because when he's singing, he had good voice, but there, he said there's something missing. You know, it's like you weren't there. You're singing somebody else's song. But he's saying, but if you just get real with yourself and just open up and share who you are through your music, then people are going to just be amazed. And they were. Right? They were. And Jesus is the same thing for us. You know, get real. You know, first of all, what do? You got to stop testing God, okay? I got to stop testing him. You know, we test him in so many different ways. You know, and a lot of it is just, we doubt him. We doubt him. We doubt that he's good enough and knows the best things for us. We just doubt him. We got, like Steve's saying, we got the plans A, B, and C, and D, and whatever else. We doubt that he can take care of us. We doubt that his plans are better for us, even though they're weird. You know, tell him this, you know, Philip to go on down this trail and, you know, and to run into this eunuch, you know, and to be able to speak to him, you know, to teach him about who God is, who Christ is, who this Messiah is. You know, that's weird. Why did he do that? You know, God does that in our lives. He tells us, he calls us to things, or he puts something in our hearts. Sometimes we're going, whoa, I'm not ready for that. But we got to put aside our pride, put aside our plans, put aside our plan A, B, and C, and get real with him. And then we got to go deeper with God. You know, when you read the word, try reading it aloud. It I don't know what it does, but somebody challenged me again. I can't remember who it was, where I heard it. You know, I've heard this before, you know, but I've been doing it recently, and I'm going, wow, it just comes at me differently. But when you speak the word of God in the air, you know, the enemy, I got a feeling he doesn't like that. It's powerful. If God speaks to us differently, do it. Start it today. You know, pray, keep your prayers up, pray throughout the day, meditate on the word. I got those little cards out there I made because we did a little study a while ago and I said I'd do it. And of course, it took me about a month or so, surely, but I got it done. You know, this is, you know, just easy questions to ask yourself as you read a passage. Just grab one, use it as a marker for your Bible, you know, to write out there different colors. I got different colors for different people. All right. 5 questions, spend a little time. Sometimes it only takes me 5 minutes, you know. But it's just a time that you just, it gives you a little bit more time, and sometimes you go longer. And on the back, there's, you know, some deeper walk, there's some prayers, kind of getting real with God. You can look at that. It's good to pray before you read the word. Why? Because if you try to do it on your own, it doesn't work that well. You can only go so far. But when you ask God to guide you and teach you, that's where he opens your heart to new things, right? He loves to reveal treasures to his children who are seeking, who are truly seeking. So that's part of it, you know, getting real with God, right? Put aside the pride, get into the word, read it aloud, you know, spend time with him. Make him a higher priority And then join a life group. See, what we're going to be starting is these life groups in the church. And some people would call them small groups and stuff like that, you know, where people come together. What you do in these small groups are, depending on the group, but the basics are you come together in fellowship in the Word. You pray. You encourage one another. You support one another. You do things together because, you know what? It's not fun to do things alone. And it's not... And it's not really so effective either, because when you even see what Jesus did, he sent the he sent them out in pairs, right? When he sent them out, and did Jesus do things alone? He went praying alone, but when he was doing things alone, he had these 12 knuckleheads right next to him. All right, you know, we don't have to do things alone. So this life group is something that we're going to be opening up, and. Some of you might not be ready yet, and some of you might be. I know the elders, we're going to start our own life group up again. We did it before. We'll start it up again, same time, pretty around this time. But we're going to start it up on Wednesdays from 6:30 to 8. All right? And I really do want you to make a commitment. I don't want you to go in and out because that disturbs the relationship building. All right? So if you're going to commit, you commit unless... a dog bites you or a bear mauls you or something like that, okay? All right, or something emergency happens. But so if you're really going to join in and stick from the 13th to November 17th, all right? That's a six-week span there, I think. Six meetings that will meet together. And I have meeting place TBA because I'm still have to clarify if this is somebody would like to open their house to this. I know Dave and Audrey were saying that, so we'll confirm that. So that would probably be the place where we'll meet as well. So sometimes it's better to meet in a house. It just makes sets the atmosphere to be better. Stuff like that. So it's for all. But like I said, I we'll just start it off, and you know, if you can do it. If you say, I can commit, come. If you can't really commit to the time, don't come. Because in the new year, we're going to start some other ones too. Right? And this group that meets here will probably continue on, you know, and meeting and stuff like that. So you can build those good relationships and support one another in our walk. Really, we need one another. So, you know, these also, when I was talking, I think it was Audrey talking, that there's a lot of people out there that just don't want to come into the building. Or into this atmosphere. It's just not them. Right? But I tell you something, they'll join you in a house or somewhere else. So what a life group is all about, one of the main things of it is evangelism. It's really a sort of praying for those around us, right in our community, God putting on a part and reaching out. And you know what Philip did with Nathanael, right? Nathanael's going, nothing good came out of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth? Ugh. And he said, well, come. He brought him to Jesus, and he was wowed, right? That's our job, you know, to reach and bring him and set him before Christ's feet, and we're to become wowed. So that's something. Pray about it. You still got a little bit of time to figure it all out. The 13th, we're going to start up, and we'll see what the Lord has for us. Why we cannot do it alone. Hebrews is so scriptural. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the days of his return is drawing near. Well, it is drawing near. Actually, every minute, you know, Christ can come back at any time, right? So, It's very important. To be kingdom builders, we can sit back and do our own thing. But to be kingdom builders, truthfully, you got to get real with God and you got to get together. You got to get together and you got to really seek God together. And it's just when they're doing it as a group, and it becomes even more powerful. So less is more. You know, remember what John the Baptist said? He said, you know. He just said, you know, I must become less and he has to become greater. See, if we want to be like Mike, And we would have to empty ourselves, change our whole body, and transform into Mike. All right? That's the only way we could do it. The only way we can be true image bearers of Christ is if we become less. Less pride, less doubt, less fear, less me. And allow them to come in and fill us up. And we become a channel, not because of us, become a channel of this supernatural. It's supernatural love, supernatural power that streams through us. Maybe just the fragrance of who we are, just the Spirit moving out and touching lives of the people around us. We're going to, where you have these divine appointments to speak in the lives of the people around us. That's what he's calling us to do, to be these image bearers. And then, you know what? To be like Mike, to fly through the air, to slam it emphatically. We all want to do something like that. When we're following Christ and we're becoming less, and he's coming more, and he's people are just hearing the good news. And that's our responsibility, to bring them to Jesus. They have to make their own decisions. We're not making a form. We can't, right? Do you understand that? You can't force people to receive Christ. You can speak to your blue in the face to them. You can show them every scripture, every word in the Bible. Can't force them, but you can bring them to Jesus. That's our part. That's our part, to bring them and let Jesus do the work, the life-changing, heart-changing work. And then at the end, when we fly up into the sky and meet Jesus, further than what Michael Jordan can jump, higher than he could go, we'll hear these words, "Well done, my good and faithful servants." Let's pray. Father God, again, your word is amazing. We hear it. How many times have we read it? But Lord, you just come at us because your word is challenging. Your word is alive. It's powerful. It cuts deep. Lord, cut deep, because the deeper you cut, the more will become real with you. Because before a holy God, we cannot stand in your presence. But we have to bow down before you, humble. Just like Jesus emptied himself of the equality of being God for us, and died on a cross for us, making the impossible possible only through him. Thank you for your word, Lord. May we take this to heart. May we act on it. It's good to hear. It's good to listen. But Lord, give us the courage. Give us the commitment, the devotion, the earnestness to put it into action. We pray in Jesus Christ's name, all of his people say, amen.